Time for Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. For the next hour, we'll get the local scores that matter to you and hear from the coaches and players that make it happen. Now, here's your host, Dave Watson.
And a good morning and welcome back to Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO, as the man said. I'm your host, Dave Watson, and on the corner this morning, we'll be chatting with Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference Commissioner and former Laker basketball player, and of course, Lake State head coach for women's basketball, director of athletics at Lake State at one time, and UP Hall of Famer as well in the UP Sports Hall of Fame. That's Chris Dunbar. We'll be chatting with Chris about the GLIAC and how things are going in the GLIAC, of course, in this COVID era coming up. Sioux High swimming coach Steve Abusa also will stop by, all that and this week in high school sports and much more. But first, as always, let's cue the orchestra. And it's time for the scores that matter here on Coach's Corner. And let's start with Sioux High hockey. Pretty good hockey game at the Big Bear Arena last night as the Blue Devils of Sault Ste. Marie able to knock off Petoskey in high school hockey. Good quality hockey game at the Big Bear. Aaron Kogan leads the way for the Blue Devils with two goals. Camden Labadee would make 29 saves in the win. Blue Devils are now 3-4 in the campaign. And Petoskey, meanwhile, falls to a record of 5-3. Sioux High is back in action today at the Big Bear Arena. Alpena comes calling. Face-off show around 145 to 150 with Scott Nason on 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Around high school hockey last night, the Bay Area Reps ice Alpena 5-3. Cadillac Downs Matawan with a score of 6-2. In the Battle of the Cherry Capital, Traverse City Central runs over Traverse City West 5-1. Calumet doubles up on Houghton 3-1 at D Stadium in Houghton in a matchup with two of the best teams in Division III in the state. And Escanaba 3-1 winners in the Banana Belt past Painesdale Jeffers. Sioux AAA Indians hockey, one game this weekend, and they went down to Oak Park in Southeast Michigan, and they lost to Little Caesars in a shootout. They did have a 2-0 lead. Caesars wins it in the shootout. It was 2-2 after regulation. Tough loss for the Indians, but they did take 4 or 6 points on the campaign from Little Caesars this year. On the college ice, Lake Superior State off last night. They'll play today, their final game of the regular season at home against Ferris State. A lot on the line at the Able Arena today. 2:35 over on today's Hits 99.5 Yes FM with Billy Crawford and Matt Pocket with the call. What's on the line? Well, if the Lakers win at the Able today, they will tie Bowling Green for second place in the WCHA. They win the tiebreaker with BG, because they swept Bowling Green on the campaign. They won they have the better edge in head-to-head, sweeping BG in the two meetings they battled Bowling Green with this year. And in WCHA action last night, there was one game. Minnesota State nips Michigan Tech 2-1. WCHA standings, I'll give you a little more detail of what we're talking about here. Minnesota State running away yet again with the regular season title, 36 points so far. Bowling Green, second with 27 points. Now, keep in mind, Bowling Green's done for the regular season. They're sitting and watching to see what happens. Lake Superior State can tie Bowling Green, as mentioned, for second with a win today. They win the tiebreaker, as I alluded to. So if they win today, they will get the second seed going into the WCHA tournament. Right now, the Lakers have 24 points. If they win today, they'll get the 3 points to tie BG, and of course, they win the tiebreaker. And again, Bowling Green is done on the season for the regular season, so a golden opportunity for the Lakers. In fourth place, Michigan Tech, they have 20 points. Bemidji State, right now, fifth. Northern Michigan sitting in sixth. Alabama Huntsville, seventh. And right now, if the Lakers win against Ferris today, they'll play Huntsville next weekend to start the playoffs here in Sault Ste. Marie at the Able Arena. Ferris State is eighth right now in the WCHA, and that's where they will finish, down at the bottom of the league. In the Big Ten, Wisconsin blanks Michigan State 4-0. Notre Dame upends Penn State 5-2. Michigan upsets Minnesota on the road 5-2. Non-conference, Arizona State shuts out Ohio State by a score of 5-0. Win there for the Sun Devils. In Columbus, National Hockey Conference, Omaha overtime winners pass North Dakota. Hockey East, Boston College 2 better than Northeastern 4-2. Meanwhile, it was Connecticut over Providence 5-3, Maine 3-3 tie with UMass. Black Bears win it in the shootout. In the ECAC, Quinnipiac doubles up on Colgate 4-2. Boys basketball, top-ranked team in the Upper Peninsula in Divisions 1 through 3 in boys basketball. Escanaba, they thump Sioux High at the Sioux High Gym 66-24. Blue Devil boys are back in action on Wednesday. They'll be at home to Cedarville here on Radio Sioux. Sioux High with the loss last night falls to 2-8. Other boys games last night, Pickford blasts Engadine 67-28. Onaway best Detour 75-62. Menominee, they were able to shoot past Marquette 57-51. And Iron, meanwhile, West Iron County in action last night as well. And let's see here, as West Iron County was able to take care of business against Crystal Falls Forest Park 42-33. Iron Mountain derails Ishpeming 64-42. Foster Wonders, the outstanding basketball player at Iron Mountain, he'll eclipse the 2,000-point mark in all likelihood on Tuesday when the Battle of the Titans takes place between Escanaba and Iron Mountain, the two top teams in boys basketball on Tuesday. Wonders, in all likelihood, will eclipse the 2,000-point mark. That is something else. Meanwhile, Wakefield Marinesco, 65-51 winners in their game over Ironwood. Republic Mishigami trips Ontonagon 57-48. Stevenson runs over North Dickinson 59-34 in action. And meanwhile, Rapid River brushes aside Norway 57-50. Munising gallops past Superior Central 56-42. Today, it's Escanaba at Kingsford. Stevenson tangles with Kearney Nadu. East Jordan is at St. Ignace. Ludington is at Cadillac. And Boyne City travels to Mancelona. In girls basketball, Sioux High pounds Alpena 66-22 last night. Blue Devils are home to Traverse City Central today around 2:30 at the Sioux High Gym. With the win last night, Blue Devils are 9-0 on the year. They're number 2 in Division 1 through 3 in the UP's rankings, right behind Menominee. And they're also number 5 in the Division 2 rankings throughout the state of Michigan from last week. Other girls' games, St. Ignace ekes out a win at home 68-64 past Escanaba. Newberry edges Brimley 36-35. Pickford 10 better than Engadine 55-45. Ishpeming Westwood dribbles past Gladstone 45-42. West Iron County buries Iron Mountain 55-34. Launce nips Houghton 60-57. Ontonagon 58-14 past Bessemer. Norway squeaks by North Central 39-38. Burke River Harris, the Broncos buck Crystal Falls Forest Park. The Buck and Broncos take care of business there 53-18. And Munising 38-31 past Manistee, while Uintrout Creek slams Dollar Bay 70-18. LIAC basketball championships in Hammond, Indiana at Purdue Northwest. Both Laker men and women lost earlier in the week in that tournament. LIAC men's semifinals from yesterday in Hammond. Ashland pounds Saginaw Valley State 83-57. Meanwhile, Michigan Tech downs Grand Valley State 65-59. Ashland will take on Michigan Tech tomorrow for the GLIAC final at Purdue Northwest in Hammond, Indiana at 2:30 p.m. On the women's side, Michigan Tech in the semifinals runs past Saginaw Valley State 78-74. Ashland trounces Wisconsin Parkside 93-74. Same schools on the women's side as the men will battle for the GLIAC final tomorrow. Ashland against Michigan Tech. They'll tip it off at noon at Purdue Northwest. Women's college volleyball. Lake Superior State falls to Davenport 3-1 yesterday at the Bud Cooper Gym. Same two teams today at the Coop, and they'll get things going at noon. Men's and women's college tennis. Lake Superior State hosts Tiffin today at the Student Activity Center inside the Norris Center. The women has started already at 9. The men inside the Student Activity Center at 2 p.m. will commence its Tiffin against Lake State in tennis all day going on at the Student Activity Center inside the Norris Center. Those are the scores that matter, of course, here on Coach's Corner. And coming up, we'll be chatting with our good friend Chris Dunbar, the commissioner of the GLIAC, coming up. That's on Coach's Corner here on 1230 WSOO. And welcome back to Coach's Corner. On the corner this morning here on Radio Sioux, we have Chris Dunbar back with us, of course, the commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. Of course, a longtime Laker basketball coach and player back in the day, and the second time we've had Chris on this year. Good morning, Chris. And, of course, the first thing that we'll get into is the fact that we're getting basketball done here with hopefully without too many hitches so far, as we're commencing into postseason play for the GLIAC, for their GLIAC tournament for basketball.
Yeah, knock on wood, we still have a little bit more left to be played, but so far we've played the majority of the games. You know, we have had a few incidences here and there with some COVID protocols where games either had to be suspended or canceled, but we feel like the season's been a success, and we hope we continue with that success going into the second round of our conference tournament.
As you alluded to, there's been some pitfalls with positive tests. We knew that was going to be the case, you know, but it was a bottom line is just keep on going forward, and that what has been the case, and the fact that you're getting into tournament play, all things look pretty good.
Yeah, they do, and you know, hats off to our administration at our institutions and the student athletes for doing what they need to do to, you know, stay safe and lessen their risk mitigation. These kids, as you know, in the state of Michigan, they have to test to go unmasked 24 hours prior to every competition or practice. So, you know, those kids are so used to being tested that we're doing our best to make sure that they can stay safe and keep playing, and we can enjoy the rest of our basketball season.
If you were to say, or I was to say about a year ago, that you could pull this type of season off as everything has transpired, you know, I would have said probably a year ago, Chris, I just don't see how you could be able to get it in this kind of environment. But a lot, I think, has been learned. We've been more educated about it than we were, obviously, a year ago when we didn't know anything. But it's still pretty impressive that we're able to get sports off even at your level and at the high school level as well.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of things have progressed, like you said. The testing has become more economical, and people have greater access to it. So, you know, that was a huge difference when there's an antigen test called the Abbott test, and that came out in mid-January, and that really was a game changer for a lot of our schools to have $5 tests, and they take about 15 minutes to administer. So that's really helped us quite a bit.
Basketball tournaments, women and men, from the quarterfinals on, correct me if I'm wrong there, are at Purdue Northwest. Thoughts on that move, having both the league tournaments pretty much at one venue?
Yeah, well, we kind of approached this earlier in the year when we were just contemplating a season, and we looked at a possibility of doing some kind of, you know, preseason bubble. Have two campuses with two really nice gymnasiums, and that was really one of the only places that could offer that type of situation for us. So we decided not to do the preseason tournament, or, you know, like a preseason type of game setup. But when we looked at the postseason tournament and a lot of the teams traveling to different places, you know, those schools that are going to possibly make the NCAA tournament, making multiple trips to different locations at the end of the year, we just didn't think that was the right move for our team. So when Purdue Northwest stepped up again and said, you know what if we brought everybody to our place, you know, kind of created a bit of a bubble, but really enhanced the testing regimen, we thought we could pull it off. And we have. So far, so good.
Yeah, well, and I would have to think the keys to having, you know, you're going to have the tournament at one spot is having the space, the safety measures, and all of that to pull it off, to be able to do that. And, you know, that's has to be the first big key. And then the next one is to find a spot. And luckily you're able to find one at Purdue Northwest. But that would have to be the key, I would have to think, is finding one that you can get people in and out and be able to have enough space for social distancing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And they have the hotels that we need. You know, they set up with restaurants and to-go boxes and things that, you know, they don't have to go in restaurants. And the other part we looked at is which state do we want to have a tournament in? And we weren't sure when we started this where we would be in the state of Michigan to be able to have something where this many student athletes could come together and participate at one time. So, you know, having the tournament in Indiana also made some sense. And, you know, the NCAA having theirs in Indiana, we thought, well, they know something. So maybe we should look at it too.
Chris Dunbar with the GLIAC, GLIAC commissioner, with us here on Coach's Corner. And Chris, I haven't seen anything as of yet, and I haven't really looked, to be honest, but what's the thoughts on the Division II NCAA tournament then going forward after the league tournaments are done?
Yeah, that's still a go. All championships for winter sports are being played. That not just basketball, but indoor track and field, they're having their championships. Swimming and diving is having theirs, wrestling. So the NCAA has moved forward. They were looking at it at a time with the percentage of schools that were participating in those sports. And, they set a threshold, and, they've surpassed that threshold to host the competitions and the tournament. So we will definitely see a lot of postseason play in Division II.
Now, with the basketball, do you see, like I just saw the NIT shorten theirs, and they're going to do a bubble in Texas with the Division I men's NIT. Do you see a shortened tournament as far as how many teams go, or what do you foresee happening?
Yes, they've already made that announcement. Usually take the top eight. Now they're taking the top six in each region. So they have reduced those brackets. Now we used to be, the GLIAC used to be in a bracket and will again, but last year we were in a bracket with two other conferences, and now we'll just be in a bracket with one. So it'll be the GLIAC and the GLVC with six spots going to those two conferences.
Okay.
Because there were some conferences that didn't even have basketball this year in Division II, so they really had to restructure who moved forward with their seasons and who could have teams participate in the NCAA tournament.
I think we moved, from the last time we talked, trying to get off the ground with a lot of caution to, I think we're at the cautiously optimistic how this is going. It's going pretty good, but at the same time, we're still looking over our shoulder, because the numbers are going down with COVID and things of that nature, and there's a lot more sports going on. We're, I think, at a point of cautiously being optimistic.
We are, it's our demographic of student athletes that aren't eligible for that vaccine yet too. So, this is still a year where we have to be very careful with their health and safety and, making sure that we're doing everything we possibly can to not put them at risk. And, at the beginning of the year, every student athlete had a chance to opt out of the season with no repercussions, and all of these student athletes will get a year back of eligibility. So there was no pressure on them to play, but the ones who did decide to play, we just want to really make sure that they're safe and healthy, and we're doing everything we can to let them play, but hopefully not contract a virus in the process.
And you alluded to this at the start of when we were talking, and the number one key, I think, to getting this off the ground was having the tests as accessible as they are now.
Exactly, right. And they're accessible. There's plenty of them, and now the cost has come down significantly for those, and they're very accurate. So we've been pleased with that process.
Now you look at some of the other sports of the GLIAC. Volleyball was shifted into the wintertime. That's been underway, and of course that will meld in with the spring sports, but it's good to see volleyball getting going as they missed their chance in the fall, but now they're going.
Yes, they will be masking. So our athletic directors decided that that sport will wear masks, which lessens the need to test them as much. So, the outdoor sports, those will be going too. But since, volleyball is our next season that's up and is indoors, we're still having a pretty good testing regimen with them. But unlike basketball, those teams will be participating with masks on for practices and competitions.
Now, with the spring, even though, of course, we don't have football up here, this plan still is for the GLIAC to have football in the spring?
It's up to each institution. There's no conference schedule, but those institutions can participate in up to five scrimmages or exhibition-type competitions. So, I think there's a handful that have already had those scheduled. I think one actually might be played next weekend. The majority of our schools are doing some kind of – it might even be a practice with another team. I think they – still considered a scrimmage, but there will be some kind of participation, but nothing that's league mandated or organized.
Full steam ahead with the spring sports then starting here, if they haven't already, I imagine starting in the next month or so?
Yes, we didn't change anything with spring sports. That's the one grouping of sports that we didn't minimize what they could do with contests. So they were still given their full slate of non-conference games, and we didn't reduce anything for them for regular season. So most of those teams have started. They've been practicing. They've been doing their non-conference contests. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll be starting up with regular conference play. They were the ones who were hit the hardest since they lost their seasons last year. So we did everything this year to try to protect them and give them a normal season, as normal as anything can be this year. But we didn't take away any contests for them. We did rearrange some of the schedules so they play the same team on the weekend and not different teams, especially in our higher risk sports like women's lacrosse. But we wanted to make sure that they got their season because they missed it last year.
Chris, here's a question that I ask all the association directors, Mark Ewell, yourself, and athletic directors. What's the biggest thing that you've learned going through this, if you were to look at one thing as opposed to last year, or if I was to tell you, let's say a year ago, December, well, we're going to have a pandemic if I had a crystal ball. And what did you learn you would think the most important thing you learned as, you know, a head of a league as far as to navigate through this?
Yeah, good question. This has been a year like no other. I think I've learned something around every corner. But really, I think one of the things I've learned the most is athletics just isn't about playing a sport. It is everything to that student. It affects them mentally, physically. You take something like that away from them, and it's heartbreaking. I think that they appreciate it more. Sometimes when you get to a higher level, a sport can seem like a job. But, you know, for these kids, it's just their life. And I think everybody in our league just rallied around that and the fact that these kids need sports, and we needed to figure a way out to make it happen. And I was really, really proud of our league for doing that.
Now, I would imagine the plan going forward is to try to get everything back in its places as far as your fall sports, your winter sports, and to your regular dates and things like that. And obviously, we'll just be watching how things go here in the summer and hopefully get back to what you normally have these scheduled sports at their designated times.
Yeah, that's what we're hopeful for, a full slate of athletics and games, non-conference, conference. But we do understand that this isn't going to be completely gone next year. So, you know, we will probably have some level of testing and doing some different things. But, yes, I can't wait, honestly, until we're not worried about, mitigating a risk of a virus. It's very, very difficult to do.
Hear, hear. Chris, as always, thanks for the time and enjoy the basketball this weekend in Indiana.
Thanks a lot for having me on, Dave.
All right, that's Chris Dunbar, the commissioner of the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, and we thank Chris, as always, for coming on Coach's Corner, and we'll roll on with more Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO. And we're back here on Coach's Corner on Radio Sioux, and we are now joined by the Sioux High Swimming Coach, longtime coach, and that is Steve Abusta with us now. And good morning, Steve. Thanks for always coming on Coach's Corner. Talk some Blue Devil swimming.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for always having us.
All right. Always a pleasure to talk some Sioux High swimming. And, of course, a condensed season it's been with COVID and everything. How has the season gone for the Sioux High girls and Sioux High boys swimming teams?
Yeah, it's been a great season. And it's been definitely unique in that it was so short, 6 weeks essentially season. But we were fortunate enough to get in when we did, which was before a lot of other teams. And so we're definitely excited about that, and it's been a great year for us. Our girls to this point haven't lost a single meet this year, which is exciting for us. Our boys are it's kind of a rebuilding focus for us, but it's been neat. Records have still fallen and all sorts of things still happening great on the boys side as well.
The Sioux High girls, let's talk about them first.
Yeah.
And of course, the Robertson girl is having another tremendous year.
Yeah, another great year for her. This is kind of the final goal for her. She's committed to swim Division I at Southern Illinois, which is pretty exciting for us, our first girl ever from the EUP to swim Division I swimming. So great for our program, great for her. She's done a fantastic job leading this senior year and really has kind of paved the way for the girls behind her.
What's her strong suit? you know, as far as why you think she's so good and she's been able to get to the level she's at. And what's her, her first name?
Allie Robertson, yep.
Oh, yep.
She just puts in the work. Allie puts in the work wherever she needs to and is willing to work hard. I think that's her biggest attribute. You know, all my girls really, my top-end girls really are just willing to put in the time and the effort they need to in the pool on their own when I couldn't have them earlier and still pool was open for individual workouts. They were in there doing whatever they could on their own. So I think that's a big testament to all our girls, but Allie really leads the way in some of that.
Well, who are some of the other top girl swimmers there for Sioux High this year?
Yeah, Joe Arbick, who is reigning UP Swim of the Year. She and Allie actually shared the award last year. So she'll be back this year again and is having a great season. We have a great group all together. Julian Remner, Anna Hildebrand, Lizzie Oman, Olivia Laurie, Gabby Woodard. There's just end and end. And then on the diving side, we have three divers who should place really well. Brianna Jones, who as a freshman won UP diving last year, will be back. And Olivia Martin's back. And then we have a senior diver, Alyssa McKinney, we weren't sure we were going to have this year. And she's back. So that will help us with some points on that end.
You know, with you rattling off all those names, whether it's boys or girls, I don't remember you having that much depth that way, you know, as far as either gender, as far as having with the boys team or the girls team. You have quite a bit of depth with the girls this year.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely do. We have kids like Alyssa Klassen, who's a senior this year and really has claimed a couple spots at UP Finals, but really has come along quietly along those high-end elite girls, and we have several along that way as well. So it's really great to see the depth of our program really improving over the past few years.
As you get ready for the UP Finals, which are coming up here pretty soon, and you know, what's your confidence level, obviously, with the girls?
Yeah, I'm really confident in our girls and what they can perform and what they can do. We swam Marquette earlier this year, and it was 3 points difference. So that's just like any other sport. That's your borderline could go either way. And so it's going to be really tight with them. We're hoping we can get a couple more qualifiers in our meet this weekend. So we'll see what happens. So we'll see what goes on. I think we've got a great shot at it, but it'll all depend if we place kids in the right spots.
The Sioux High boys team this year, as far as individually, who's been pretty good and we should keep an ear or an eye on for the Sioux High boys?
Yeah, really, our three senior boys lead the way. Morgan Bird in the swimming pool. He'll commit to Division II or Division III university for swimming. He's just had a fantastic season, is in line. I hope he can go out there and compete and win UP Swimmer of the Year on the male side. He's just done a great job. And then our two male divers, Cameron Bowers and Connor Habusa. Connor's committed to dive Division II at Gannon University next year, which is exciting for a father. He's our current school record holder and just is having a great season all around. And then Cameron Bowers, and they've pushed each other healthy this year in a really good way where they go back and forth. I never know who's going to win a meet, who's going to have the top dives. They've really pushed each other back and forth. And Connor's got the school record now, but he may not at the end of UP Finals. So it's really cool to see those boys push each other, and it's been great for our team, and they've kind of led the way that way.
Quite a few swimmers are moving on to play some college, or to compete in some college swimming on both sides, the girls and the boys. Of course, a proud dad here with Connor going to Erie, Pennsylvania's Gannon University. But you have quite a few swimmers that are going to be moving on next level, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. We should have had we should have four over the past couple of years, which and three this year alone, which I don't think any other program but Sioux High has that number going on to compete in the NCAA. So definitely really exciting for us to get those kids to the next level. But I'm just as excited to see the kids who go off and become great doctors, police officers, outstanding human beings. And we have a tremendous amount who go on and do that as well.
Your thoughts on the boys as you close out the season here in the next few weeks of the UP Finals, and your thoughts on where they could be able to finish?
Yeah, we're going to go out and compete. We know Marquette and Houghton have depth that we don't have. They both have incredibly deep teams. But I think we can compete with anybody else, and we'll definitely look forward to doing that.
You know, a real compact schedule with COVID and everything, and you guys are fortunate enough being a non-contact, listed as a non-contact sport, that you got a leg up on some of the other sports to be able to get going. But still, It was pretty short. And do you, you know, as far as change your coaching style or things of that in nature with the kids in the pool, as far as, you know, how things started and in knowing that it was going to be a quick turnaround to the UP finals in early March from when you started?
Yeah, and it's definitely really it really handcuffs you as a coach in swimming in particular, because we have to qualify kids for finals by hitting certain times. So when your meets are cut down, you're losing half your meets, it really takes away from those opportunities. We were fortunate enough, though, where we were able to qualify kids early, which really helped us. And that was my biggest change in philosophy. I'm swimming kids right away in events that I think that they're going to do well in the finals, because I want them to get that qualifying time. And I really want them to use every opportunity they have to improve their seed time. So that's the biggest change for me. Our taper's a little bit shorter at the end of the season here, but other than that, you know, it's just good to see kids in the water excited to be with their teammates and having fun.
Did you see the swimmers have like the little more pressure on them, knowing that they don't have as many opportunities? How did you go about that?
Yeah, definitely kids feeling the pressure, and me feeling the pressure as a coach. I think I was crabbier this year, you know, because of some of that and the stress of, oh man, who am I going to qualify in this? How am I going to do this? You know, just all so compacted. But the kids really did a great job pressing through that, pressing through a crabby coach, and did a great job pushing through the pressure. And we'll have our girls' side almost completely full for UP finals. So that's definitely exciting for us.
Steve Abusta with us, a Sioux High swimming coach. And, of course, Blue Devil swimming continuing. And you still competed at the Norris Center as far as practicing and things of that nature?
Yeah, a little unfortunate this year where their dive tank was not functional. So our divers, even though they're setting school records, and the top diving team in the UP have had no practice really
wow.
all year. So we get to pools early so they can practice wherever we're going for an hour or so. But that's been about it. We made a road trip down to Gaylord to use their board once, but it's been really hard for our divers this year, but they've really excelled. But we're grateful for Lake State and the opportunity we have to use their swimming pool. And I actually went and spoke to the trustees at Lake State this past year just to say thank you, because we really appreciate them keeping the pool open and giving these kids the opportunity that they have.
You mentioned diving, and that's one area I think that has strengthened since you've taken over as far as over the years. You know, you always had the diving program there, but it seems like we've had some pretty good divers in the last several years.
Yeah, and I think some of that has to do with the fact that I'm watching my own kids, so it kind of gives you that vested interest in what's
right.
going on over on that side of the pool where I know swimming. But I want to give big props to Allison Interrebner. She's come. She was a Division II diver. National qualifier at Northern Michigan, and she's really helped pour into our divers the last few years and has done a great job getting them ready and of course getting a few of them on to the next level now.
So now, you know, you get ready after, you know, you had the meet yesterday, and then now it's the focus pretty much goes to the UP finals.
Yeah, that's entirely our focus right now is just getting kids ready for finals. We'll taper this week, so a little lighter workouts, but all the focus is into just beating the kids next to them and besting those times at UP finals.
All right. Well, it sounds like the kids are ready to go. Good luck at the UP finals as always, and thanks for stopping by here on Coach's Corner.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate you having me.
All right. That's Steve Abusta with Sioux High Swimming, and we'll be back with more Coach's Corner in a moment on 1230 WSOO.
And now back to Coach's Corner with Dave Watson on 1230 WSOO.
And we're back at 11:55 on Coach's Corner. I'm Dave Watson, and it's time to close up shop and first look at what's on deck here on the family of radio stations as far as sports goes. And we start with Sioux High Hockey coming your way later today, about 1:45 to 1:50 in that neighborhood for the face-off show. Scott Nason will have the call between Sioux High and Alpena from the Big Bear Arena in Sioux St. Marie on Radio Sioux, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Laker Hockey battles Ferris State today to finish the regular season at the Able Arena, 2:35 with Billy Crawford and Matt the Pocket Rocket. And that will be at the Able Arena over on today's Hits 99.5 YesFM. Lakers, if they win today, will tie Bowling Green in points. They win the tiebreaker and get the second place in the WCHA going into the playoffs next week. That's big, because there's a big, big difference from playing Alabama Huntsville, no disrespect to the Chargers, as opposed to playing a Northern Michigan or Bemidji State, in my opinion, next week. And that would be big for the Lakers. And also, a resume resume builder as well in their quest to get to the NCAA tournament in the 16-team field as well towards the end of March. Monday night, over on ESPN 1400, it's the game of Scott Nason, 6 to 8 p.m., Sault Ste. Marie's only local, regional, and national sports show. I'll join Scotty in his first hour for a bit. Second hour, it's Butch on Sports, E.J. Russell and Scotty on the round table. Of course, talking more of regional and national sports scene. And the game with Scott Nason on ESPN 1400 and thegamesportsshow.com. Sioux High boys basketball on Wednesday night on Radio Sioux. Cedarville's in town to take on Sioux High. And the tip-off show comes your way a bit after 7 or around 7 p.m. Ray Bell will join me for that one here on AM 1230. Thursday, it's a Blue Devil girls basketball as Sioux High will take on Sheboygan. Ray and I will have the call around 7 or a bit after on 1230 WSOO. Friday night, coming up on Friday night, it will be Sioux High hockey. Blue Devils will host Escanaba, their final home game of the year. Face-off show about 6:45 to 6:50. Scott Nason will have the call from the Big Bear Arena on AM 1230, Escanaba and Sioux High. Then next Saturday afternoon, I'll be in DeWitt near Lansing for girls basketball as Sioux High will take on the DeWitt Panthers. Tip-off show around or a bit after 2 here on 1230 WSOO, 1230WSOO.com, and the TuneIn app as well. Thanks to our guest today on Coach's Corner. Of course, that's Chris Dunbar, the Great Lakes Intercollegiate Athletic Conference Commissioner, Sioux High swimming coach Steve Habusta as well. Coach's Corner returns next Saturday morning, 11:05 a.m. till noon. Replays of Coach's Corner can be found at podcast.1230WSOO.com. Coach's Corner is a sports presentation of 1230 WSOO. I'm your host, Dave Watson, and that will do it for now. Until next time, we are out of here.
You've been listening to Coach's Corner on 1230 WSOO Sault Ste. Marie. Join us next week for an inside look at local sports in the Eastern UP.